Hey, this is Randall.
And this is John.
From the Don't Wake the Kids podcast.
You're listening to our favorite podcast,
Weird. I hope you're ready for some fun.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Don't look at me.
What is up, Craig?
Oh, you know, stuff.
What are you doing?
I'm over here talking.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a very good pre-show meeting.
We had a good band meeting.
Good band meeting today. And before we even get started, straight out of the gate, I want to shout out to Jay Sharp from Addiction Campuses.
Yeah, Jay.
Our buddy Jay.
Jay.
Great guy.
The man.
I'm at work the other day walking to the break room. He is telling coworker about Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And about how, he was talking about how weird you were.
He actually was talking about how he said, and this is exactly what he said. He said, at least once every episode, he has tears coming down his face.
Because he's in so much pain.
No, not at all.
Oh, I thought it was because he was actually miserable.
But he did correct us. We had a story last week about, I think we pronounced it Geelong or Geelong.
Yeah, we don't know.
But it's Geelong.
What are we talking about?
It's a sports team in Australia, mate.
Okay, well, you know, though I appreciate the input.
He's actually got a jersey.
Hey, though I do appreciate the input.
Yes.
If we had people telling us what we said wrong in every show,
yeah,
we would have a whole nother show. But it'd be a show about the stuff we said wrong.
It was the show we had about the snake going in the cat door.
Yep.
And I talked all about my invention that somebody stole.
But wasn't that the same episode with the guy from Australia who was really in Austria?
That's right.
That guy.
That's the one. Yeah. Same episode. Tonight's top story.
Top story.
Was that like a new thing you're doing now?
Is it okay?
You just kind of mix it
up. Oh, and I've been thinking, you need to come up with something too. Because sometimes we're talking and you'll go right in the next headline and it confuses
so
the
I
listener.
Need my own what you talking about Willis
or
no I'm not
headline is
not actually that I could say what you talking about Willis. That's good.
No, that doesn't even work
well
at all.
I'll come up with something.
Okay.
I could say here it is. Moving up a notch to number four. Ready?
Yeah.
Can I talk now?
Top story.
Texas man arrested for stealing $1.2 million worth of fajitas.
Well, if it's at the restaurant down the street, that's only like two orders.
That is true. Fajitas are pretty pricey.
A little steep.
Oh, have you been to the new one?
I have.
Oh, was it good?
Thumbs down.
That's what I heard.
Thumbs down.
Really?
Yes.
Food quality not good?
Nope. Nope.
I heard the same thing from my middle kid.
And Lori and I both had separate dishes, and mid-meal, I'm like, this is not good. And she said hers was not good.
What's going on?
I don't know.
And the parking's abysmal.
Yes. And it wasn't just that it didn't taste good. The texture, everything was bizarre. It was almost like, you know what it's like going to 7-Eleven and getting a gourmet meal?
Going to 7-Eleven, yeah. Or going to 7-Eleven just getting a burrito. And
that might have been
the 7-Eleven burrito being better.
Oh, and putting some nacho cheese
on
it.
Some of that nacho cheese. Oh. Anywho, back to Brownsville, Texas. Now, continuing on with our story.
Yes. Hey, have you been to Ace Hardware lately?
They just reopened the Ace Hardware. I haven't been there yet.
Yes, it's big news in our little town.
Yeah, did you go there?
I haven't. Okay. I just drove by and looked in the windows.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm pretty excited.
You need your own random thing. Okay.
I could use yours.
No, it doesn't count.
I'm sorry.
Can we go now?
Brownsville, Texas.
Brownsville, Texas. We now take you back to Brownsville, Texas.
I'm going to Brownsville.
A former South Texas Juvenile Justice Department employee has been arrested for felony theft after authorities say he acknowledged stealing $1.2 million worth of fajitas over 9 years.
Good night.
Cameron County District Attorney Louise Saint Louise S. Tells the Brownsville Herald that Gilberto Escaramilla, whatever, was fired in August and arrested after authorities obtained a search warrant and found packages of the Tex-Mex food in his refrigerator.
Is that against the law? You know, I could be arrested for that.
Well, maybe they know where it came from, though.
Oh, maybe.
You think maybe they did a little detective work here?
I don't know.
Investigators subsequently checked vendor... Okay, here you go. You ready now?
I'm ready.
Are you happy with yourself now? Investigators subsequently checked vendor invoices and determined he would intercept county-funded food deliveries and deliver them to his own customers.
Oh, I see what's going on.
The scheme imploded when he missed work one day in August for a medical appointment, and a delivery driver showed up with 800 pounds of fajitas, but officials said the juvenile department didn't serve fajitas.
We don't serve fajitas here. This is the juvie.
Yeah, you're in the wrong place, buddy.
You got any peanut butter? That's what we serve.
Ooh, peanut butter.
Headline is, man arrested after trying to light a cigarette with a gas pump nozzle. So we're going to put this under the...
I want to say something, but it's just, I don't understand that.
Well, this happened in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Well,
you know. I like Fargo, North Dakota.
You know...
I like Bismarck.
Maybe oxygen levels are low up there.
Is Bismarck from Bismarck, North Dakota?
I just remember the name. That's all I know.
Oh, he was great.
Okay.
Great.
Can we maybe move on with the story now?
Police in North Dakota have arrested a man for possession of drugs after first spotting him attempting to light a cigarette with the nozzle of a gas pump. You know, flames don't come out of those.
But did he light the end of it?
I don't know what happened. The Bismarck Tribune reports that 29-year-old Skyler Whitebull of Cannonball was spotted by Bismarck police driving by the gas station.
Hey, if they would have chased him on foot, that would have been the Cannonball Run.
Authorities say
I get nothing over
no.
there?
No, you don't. That doesn't deserve one.
Okay.
Authorities say Whitebull refused to put the nozzle back and took a fighting stance when officers tried to stop him.
What if he did that pugilist stance?
I'm trying to figure out what was going on. Flames don't come out of gas. I hope not.
Maybe he lit it.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, you weren't there.
Court documents say the officers forced Whitebull to the ground. He allegedly continued to resist and flailed his legs even while handcuffed. Police searched Whitebull and found several small zippered bags.
Well, I've got zipper bags at home.
Not with methamphetamine inside.
No, there's residue.
Well, it was still
maybe
inside.
Maybe he recycled
it. It wasn't on the outside. He is charged with misdemeanor, meth possession, and preventing arrest. They don't really go into detail about why he was trying to light a cigarette.
You know why?
Because
no one accused any of these stories of having good, you know, journalistic sort of.
Well, that's true. And I will admit that it's the headline that grabbed me on
the headline's
one.
Always good. Like this one.
Okay.
There it is. I can say that. Like this one.
Okay. No, because you'd really have to good. Have a, what do you call it?
Oh, I got it. Ready?
Yeah.
Here's my headline. Woman trades. He snorted. Woman trades packet of McDonald's Szechuan sauce for a new car.
Dun, 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 dun.
McDonald's managed to make a bunch of Rick and Morty fans really mad by not having enough Szechuan. Am I saying that right? Szechuan?
Beats me.
Szechuan. I say Szechuan when I say it, but I try not to say it because it hurts. Szechuan. When they didn't have enough of it last Saturday, but one Michigan woman has the sweet taste of victory. See what they did there?
Uh-huh,
Rachel
sweet.
Marie of Macomb. Macomb? Macomb.
Macomb.
Macomb. Not only managed to snag one of the only 20 packets of the super rare sauce, but she managed to parlay it into a car.
Wow.
This is our society today.
This is capitalism in its best.
But this is our society today. The 23-year-old graphic designer is a huge fan of Rick and Morty.
You ever watch it?
I am not.
Do you not like it?
I didn't think it was funny.
I thought it was pretty funny.
I thought it was badly drawn animation.
Oh, I love the animation.
I don't like it.
It's creative.
I told someone the other day that if I knew when I was an adult I could have made really crappy-looking drawings and animated them and made money.
It started with the Rugrats.
I would have done it. There's so many. No, it started with Beavis and Butthead and all these
Oh, that's true.
Although Mike Judge is actually funny.
He is funny.
Okay, maybe I should go back to the 23-year-old that's a graphic designer and a huge fan of Rick and Morty.
Okay.
They featured this condiment, the Szechuan sauce, as a key plot device in the season 3 premiere, which aired in April. In the episode, series lead Rick, that's of the Rick and Rick and Morty,
right?
Rick Sanchez declares it's his life mission to get the sauce, which was made in 1998 to promote the Disney animated feature Mulan.
See, I told you they were creative. That is creativity in action.
All right.
To go all the way
There's
back.
There's a lot here.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. There is. It's a pretty long story.
And you're just dragging it out.
This lady traded a packet of it for a car.
That's what I've already said.
Yeah.
When McDonald's said they were bringing it back, I thought it would be cool to get a sauce, she told HuffPost. The 23-year-old, which I've already mentioned how old she is, I don't want to have to tell you again.
They said it twice.
They said it twice. Graphic designer said that twice. Drove 45 minutes to, as you would say, Detroit.
Rock City.
Early in the morning and waited hours until the sauces became available around 2 p.m. By the time that happened... There were hundreds of people waiting, she said. The line snaked around the building.
Did you say snake?
No, don't.
Okay, go ahead.
The McDonald's location only had 20 packets available, but both Marie and one of her friends were among the lucky tastemasters who got the... Now they got a title.
Tastemasters.
Who got
the
sauce?
Hey, we were just discussing Toastmasters.
Yeah, it's a little different.
And I said, I went to Toastmasters with my dad when I was younger. Mm-hmm. No toast in the whole place.
No toast at all.
And nobody even offered me toast, butter, honey, anything.
And the members that were eating toast
didn't
even do it right. They were making a mess.
I would call them toast amateurs. I'm going to change the name, toast amateurs.
Yeah, sure. That won't get us in trouble. I was tempted to try it while watching the episode, she said, the sauce. That is until she got the idea to post a photo of the sauce packet on Pen Nation, a Facebook group dedicated to trading pens. Pens, like not ink pen.
But no, like stick. Pens.
Yeah.
Yeah, like REO Speedwagon pens.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody would want those. There was actually a large response with some nice pens, Marie told Business Insider. But if I could get a car, I thought, why not ask? The driven negotiator, you can do it. The driven negotiator managed to find a person willing to trade the single Szechuan sauce packet for a 2000.
That's not a bad
Volkswagen
car.
Golf MK4. Yeah, still Volkswagen though.
That's
Sean's
true.
Not going to hear that. He drove the car over, so I know it was running. She said, without revealing the man's name. He was a dedicated fan of the show and already had a second car.
Well, big deal.
And he wasn't very bright.
Yeah, just because you got a second car doesn't mean you give one away.
Over a pack of sauce.
A pack of nugget sauce.
Business Insider interviewed the man who did not give permission for his name to be used.
Don't tell anybody who I am.
He justified the seemingly imbalanced trade by telling the outlet he just needed me some sauce.
I just need me some sauce. Take my car. 2000, though, that's pretty good year. Hey, we were just talking about this. Headline is, woman launches hot nacho cheese at a 7-Eleven club.
Nacho cheese.
That's nacho cheese. They say customer service.
You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm okay.
You just kind of went, like, I thought
it's my asthma.
You made that up.
No, I didn't. I didn't make it up. It's my asthma.
Go back to 7-Eleven.
They say.
No, I mean, I actually want you to go back.
They say the customer is always right. However, in the case of a Florida woman.
Let me get something straight here. I've worked enough retail. The customer is not always right.
No. And at 7-Eleven, I used to go there and get Krispy Kreme donuts. I never had the nacho cheese. Not once.
Because it wasn't your cheese.
That's not. I was going to get some, but the sign said, that's nacho cheese.
Just keep moving, would you?
It was a
Move road. Along. Move along.
However, in the case of a Florida woman.
What?
What?
It's a Florida story.
Oh, is it now? In Florida. I thought it was a 7-Eleven story. I got excited.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
So let me go back to this.
That's one.
It was around 1:50 a.m. Thursday when Stephanie L. Hicks, 31, walked into a 7-Eleven store in Melbourne to buy a sandwich and a cup of nacho cheese. Man, I'd just get a cup of coffee or something.
So wait, this is not only Melbourne. It is Florida, right?
Yeah.
But when I hear Melbourne, I think,
don't do it. The cashier told Hicks not to open that cheese. Don't you open that cheese dispenser.
Don't you do it.
Don't touch it. But the hungry woman ignored her request.
Nom, nom, nom.
Hicks proceeded to open it anyway and went up to pay for her items, only to be denied service by the... I told you not to open it.
Denied.
You're going to have to go to another store.
Denied.
That's when Hicks launched the sandwich and the hot cheese sauce...
What, she have a catapult?
...across the counter at the clerk. I hope so. I hope there was a little catapult that she set on
the counter. She ran to the car.
As the food traveled through the air, Hicks yelled through her ear. Did I say ear?
I don't know what you said.
As the food traveled through the air, Hicks yelled, "The customer is always right." It wasn't long before the clerk, bathed in yellow cheese,
called police,
according to reports. When deputies arrived, Hicks was arrested, booked into Brevard County Jail, and charged with battery. I forgot the theme song. Oh, we had all kinds of theme songs.
Listen. Why did they charge her? Okay. Why do they charge her with a battery?
They should have charged her because she didn't buy anything.
Was she? I mean, she electric? Hey, this one's mine. Cleveland, is that you? Armed robbery victim asks. No, it's not me. Suspect replies.
No, man, it's not me.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Two fast food restaurant workers robbed at gunpoint by a man wearing a ski mask identified the suspect as a former co-worker, according to reports. The East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office reported Cleveland Willis, 28. I just like to say Cleveland Willis.
What you talking about, Cleveland?
Has been arrested in connection with the October 3rd armed robbery at the KFC on Perkins Road in Baton Rouge.
He wanted KFC phones. He wanted the KFC GPS cassettes.
Yep, and he wanted that other thing they had. They had something that smelled like something.
Oh, they had lip balm. They had chicken-flavored lip balm.
Yeah.
He wanted all that.
According to the arrest warrant, the victims told investigators that although the suspect was wearing a ski mask, they could tell it was Willis because they had worked with him for several months.
They said, what you talking about?
Give me your money. What you talking about, Willis? That's the second time unplanned that what you talking about, Willis, has come up in this conversation.
It really is.
Unplanned. The warrant stated the suspect walked into the business wearing all black and a black ski mask over his face. He reportedly pointed the gun at the head of one of the workers, pulled back the hammer.
Ooh.
What do we have? You have a hammer or a gun? Which was it?
It was a gun made with a hammer.
It was a gun that had a giant hammer on the back of it.
Yeah, he pulled it back.
And he demanded money. I wish I could demand money.
Well, get yourself a hammer.
If I had a hammer. Yeah. Authorities said both workers opened two cash registers. How many people? It takes two people to open.
The two of them opened this one, then the two of them opened that one.
And handed over a total of a little more than $600. Cleveland, is that you? The report said one of the victims asked the suspect during the robbery. No, it's not me. The suspect reportedly replied. No.
What time did I come in tomorrow? Can you check schedule while I'm back here?
Yeah, did you mind? I forgot to mark myself out for tomorrow.
But I ain't eight.
But I'm not.
You talking about, Willis?
I think Cleveland wanted me to tell you.
Yeah.
He's out tomorrow.
I saw him. He was sick.
He's not feeling good.
He told me he called in sick.
Yeah. Anyway, give me the $600. The report stated the suspect drove off in a silver Nissan Altima, which is the same vehicle Willis had been using while working there. According to the warrant, the victims reported they recognized the robber as Willis because of his voice and the features of his face that were visible through the holes in the mask.
And the T-shirt that said Cleveland.
No, his friend shirt that said, I'm with Willis.
Yeah.
Willis had been booked into the East Baton Rouge Parish prison on a charge of armed robbery. Bond has not been set.
Well, they need to set that bond so he can get back to work at the KFC.
But I hear Daniel Craig's coming back as Bond. Does that count?
Nope. That doesn't even count at all.
That sounds like that was set.
Next story.
That's not yours. No, I mean, that's not what you say.
No, it's not what I say, but I'm not ready to read the headline yet.
Okay.
Next story is from my friend, Jenny Crutchfield Hart, who sent this to me through...
JCH?
Yeah, sent this to me through Facebook Messenger this week, and I've known Jenny since I was 5 years old. Actually, before that, we grew up together. Anyway, headline
65
is...
65 now.
Sam Quillum was kissing a fish that blocked his throat, causing his heart to stop.
That sounds like that book about the woman who swallowed a fly.
I don't know why she
swallowed
Quillum a fly.
Sam Quillum was kissing a fish. It wiggled and squiggled and blocked his throat and caused his heart to stop. I guess he'll die.
She swallowed a dog to catch the fish.
No, he swallowed the cat to catch the fish.
Oh, that's right. And then she swallowed the dog.
The fish that was blocking his throat and it caused his heart to stop.
She swallowed the dog to catch the cat to catch the fish.
Right.
A man.
You know, that could have just gone on and on, but I'm not going to let it.
I'm not going to do it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
A man has been reliving the moment he almost died.
Cleveland, is that you?
After a 14-centimeter. Cillimeter.
What?
What's a cillimeter?
What?
Isn't that part of a car? Anyway, a man has been reliving the moment he almost died after a 14-centimeter fish jumped down his throat and stopped him from breathing. Sam Quillum, age 28, went into cardiac arrest after the Dover sole, which he had just caught, jumped into his mouth while he was kissing it.
What? It doesn't say that.
Yeah, it does. With friends on Boscombe Pier in Dorset.
Boscombe.
Yes.
You want to try that word again?
Boscombe. Oh, this PDF, it just didn't come over correctly.
Yeah, blame it on an inanimate object.
Returning to the scene, Mr. Quillum explained that he was trying to kiss the fish.
Oh, there you go.
An angling tradition to thank the fish before throwing it back when his plan backfired. The angler, who has made a full recovery, suffering no ill effects, told Sky News he unhooked it, picked it up off the floor, went to give it a kiss before I threw it back. Imagine you squeeze a bar of soap or a tube of toothpaste. This fish just jumped out of my hand into my mouth and swam straight down my throat, he said.
I don't know about this.
Ah, he loves fish. It was literally a split second that it happened, and I was completely choked out. Paramedic Matt Harrison of the Southwest Ambulance Service, who arrived within minutes to find his friends giving Mr. Quillum CPR after he collapsed and stopped breathing. We didn't really know the size of the fish we were aiming to retrieve, although they were saying that he swallowed a fish. when you're actually hearing that,
what?
That's what they were saying. They said he swallowed a fish. He swallowed a fish.
Oh, okay.
When you're actually hearing that and trying to absorb that and looking at the person on the floor, it seems almost unbelievable.
You think the tail twitching out of his face.
That came out of his nose. The paramedics managed to restore his pulse after discovering his heart had stopped, in fact. But despite using artificial ventilation, could not get oxygen into his lungs. Realizing time was very short, Mr. Harrison used a, what is that word?
Laryngoscope.
Yeah, what Craig said, to fully extend the mouth and the pair of forceps to dislodge the tip
of the
tail.
Hey, you think that's a hard word? Try otolaryngology.
Very carefully.
Do you like that one?
So it's
try
not,
it. Say it.
So it's not,
say it. Say it.
I'm not going to say
it. Otolaryngology. Otolaryngology.
I'm not saying it. Very carefully, so as not to break the tail off, I tried to remove it, although the fish is why would anyone care about breaking the tail off? Oh, so he had to have something he could pull out.
Well, and they're about to say what I already thought. When you start pulling that fish back out, he's going to get hung.
Although the fish's barbs and gills were getting stuck on the way back up. That's just gross. Eventually, after six attempts, the fish came out in one piece and said, hey, put me back. No, and our amazement was that it was whole Dover sole.
It was an entire one.
So a Dover sole is a fish. I'm not a fisherman. I don't know about fish.
You don't like fish.
I know goldfish. So a Dover
the cracker.
Sole. Dover sole is a fish, correct? I'm guessing.
Sure.
So, again, they said it measured approximately 14 centimeters. Sam, who admits he has little memory of the incident and feels lucky to be alive, suffered no lasting effects and has made a full recovery.
A Dover sole is common in European waters.
Yeah.
A relative of the lemon sole.
Oh, the lemon sole. There you go.
Found in
I didn't
the
make
Eastern
the connection.
Pacific. I've heard of sole, the fish.
I put a little lemon sole in my tea every once in a while.
You put some fish flavor in your tea.
No, I don't. I've never attended a more bizarre incident, said Harrison, and I don't think I ever will.
That brought a tear to my eye.
Did it? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry.
No, I didn't. Hey, this one's mine. Aliens made me do it. Man vandalizes Sheboygan home.
I'll be honest. Half the reason I put this in there today, Sheboygan.
I love saying Sheboygan.
It's just a funny word.
Sheboygan.
That was like a comedy in itself.
I love that. We've actually, where I used to work, we threw that word around.
Sheboygan.
Sheboygan.
Hey, Sheboygan.
Yeah, we did all the time.
What's another funny word?
Aaron.
Thank you.
So, ready? Let me get ready for this one. Sheboygan. A 31-year-old Sheboygan man is facing multiple charges after telling officers that aliens made him vandalize a home in the 900 block of Kentucky Avenue several times over the past 3 weeks, including trying to set the home on fire.
Well, which aliens were these? Where are they from? Like Afghanistan or?
I don't know, but by this name, here we go. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, I forgot about this. Yes.
Naofong.
That's good.
Infachak. Was arrested October 5th and charged with 2 felony counts of arson of a building, 2 misdemeanor counts of graffiti, 2 counts of criminal damage to property, and 1 misdemeanor count of carrying a concealed weapon. I'm going to call him Epicac. That stuff you take and it makes you throw up?
Yes.
Epicac, who said he was a diagnosed schizophrenic, said aliens made him vandalize the home.
So the schizophrenics the aliens are living in his head.
Right.
They're probably schizophrenic too.
They probably are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Do I know it?
The ones in my head are.
Oh, I knew that.
According to the criminal complaint, over the past 3 weeks, the Sheboygan Police Department took 5 separate reports of damage and vandalism to a home and vehicles at the address.
These people are going, we don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It's like aliens have landed.
They kept going, Sheboygan! The first graffiti was reported September 11th by new owners of the property who were in the process of renovating the home to live in. The letters DNA were sprayed spray painted on the home in black. Over the next several weeks, the owners also reported the front window of the home was smashed out, a dent was kicked in their van, and someone tried to set fire to the home on 2 separate occasions.
This guy hates that house.
He does not like it.
Or the aliens. The alien. This guy probably, yeah.
An officer on patrol passed the home on October 5th, noticed a suspicious man sitting in a maroon van at the location, later identified as Epicac, who pulled a hood up over his head and drove off when the police approached him.
Not suspicious at all.
No. I mean, he was probably cold. The vehicle was stopped, and Epicac was taken into custody on a probation and parole violation warrant. Officers searching Epicac found a hatchet in his pocket.
Well, he's going to cut some firewood.
If it gets cold.
Sure.
Because he had the hood. And
he was already cold.
When interviewed by police, he admitted to trying to set fire to the home twice, painting the letters DNA on the house twice, causing damage to a van by kicking it and busting out the kitchen window his skateboard.
So there you go.
Epicac did not know the house was under new owners and appeared to be targeting the former owners, police said. He also told police that he has an alien virus from outer space and that aliens were making him upset and were making him vandalize the home. He said aliens were using black magic on him.
Aliens don't use black magic.
If they're South American.
No, they use their brainwaves.
What if they voodoo. Were from, I don't know, somewhere that sounds like a place that uses voodoo?
They would probably use black magic. Yeah, but I think he's talking about space aliens.
So they're using mental
mind power.
Mind black magic.
Yes. No, it's not even black. Why is it got to be
black? Because
that's
racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying now. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
Anyway, they also altered his DNA to make him shorter, which explains a lot to do with you. You knew that was coming.
I didn't even see that
Which
sentence.
Is why he sprayed DNA on the house.
You had to, didn't
Did
you?
He spray DNA on the house?
Hope not.
They are switching dimensions all the time.
Well, sure they
are. Setting people up for a bad time. He told officers during the interview, I'm telling you the truth, alien virus to evolve mankind.
How do they set people up for a bad time? Will they sign them up for jury duty?
That, make them work at the DMV?
Make them watch Gilmore Girls?
Why do we have a repeat here?
Headline is, but first...
Can you explain again that that's the food fight theme?
Yeah. Anytime there's food and fighting involved...
We've got to listen to this.
Absolutely. I worked hard on this, man. You don't like it. I can sense
it. This is funny. Yeah.
Headline is, man arrested.
Funny your life's work is that.
This, you know, I've often wondered about this. Man arrested for putting a soft drink in his water cup at McDonald's.
Now, random story.
Craig's random story.
So I was actually at a McDonald's in Nashville one time, and the guy that's always out, he's a nice guy, but he's always out, you know, cleaning up the lobby area or whatever. Well, he came down on somebody. Somebody walked up, he said, those cups are for water.
And somebody put soda in it?
And they were trying to put soda in it. And he's, yeah, those are for water. And that's the end of my story. Wasn't that a great story?
That's pretty random. Actually, it wasn't that random because that's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, but that's the only theme I've got.
A man has been arrested for putting a fizzy drink inside a water cup at a drive-thru McDonald's drive-thru and refusing to return it. How did you do that through the drive-thru, I wonder?
Is that you, Cleveland?
Cody Morris and two friends went to the drive-in kiosk of a fast food restaurant in Springdale, Arkansas, where they ordered three large cups of water. Afterwards, they parked their car, emptied out the water, went into
Good.
The restaurant where they filled the cups with a soft drink.
Good. They had it coming. This was planned.
Absolutely. It sounds like it was a setup. Somebody set them up for a bad time. When they were caught, two of the group returned the soda, but Mr. Morris refused, so the manager called the police to report a robbery. He then went out to the car park and stood behind Mr. Morris's car to prevent him from leaving. That's dangerous. That's very dangerous.
Yes, he could be run over.
According to the police report, the car then went into reverse and hit him. The manager tried to get the keys out of the ignition and was hit on the hand.
He probably got fired, unless he was the owner.
Police later found the car at a nearby bowling alley, because that's where you go after you steal sodas,
yeah.
And arrested Mr. Norris. He's been charged with one count felony robbery.
Why not attempted murder?
Felony for stealing soda.
Felonious.
And is due to appear in court.
Well, I've seen people walk into the local McDonald's, come from their car with an empty cup in their hand, go straight over there, and they just don't say anything.
I've never seen that. I probably would say something. But you know, growing up, we had a friend. We'll call him SK. We didn't have to steal anything from McDonald's.
We didn't even know we had it until we were a mile down the road.
I'd order two hamburgers and a fry.
We told this story.
I'd have 50 nuggets, yeah. Six Big Macs.
I do remember going through one time, and I was getting a hamburger. We told this story. We're repeating ourselves.
Yeah, but people don't listen to
but
every episode.
That's true.
Yeah.
They should.
They sure
Why
sure,
aren't
because they're missing lots of good stuff.
And I remember going through the drive-thru up in H-Town. And
yeah.
It was just me, and I had it was just me. I probably just got a Big Mac or something,
yeah.
And I left with four large fries and apple pie.
I remember it was like a game to SK to see how much food he could pass out the window when we went through. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was fun. I never did get to eat it all because it was enough to feed a village, you know.
Don't let people tell you that wasn't a good story. Okay?
I don't have a random.
Hey, this one's mine.
I don't have my own song like
Hey,
you
this
do.
One's also mine.
You can't. That doesn't make sense. That's okay. Not the start of a story.
My turn? You like that one?
We got two 911 stories in a call in a row. So you take them both.
I thought we had a criminal theme or something. No, it doesn't really apply.
We used to.
Police. I say police. I hear your wife go, darn it. Police say, don't call 911 to tell us Facebook is down. This one happens in Washington, as some people might call Washington. Losing access to critical social media tools to check up on your friends' statuses might seem like an emergency, but police in Washington are asking you to hold the phone, both figuratively and literally. The agency says some panicked individuals cut off from their daily fix are calling 911 to report Facebook is down.
What is wrong with this generation?
We will move mountains to help those in our community. Brothel police.
It's not brothel.
Tweeted Wednesday morning. However, we cannot fix Facebook, so please do not call 911 just to let us know it's down.
Who thinks it's okay to call 911?
The same people thinks it's okay to get out and pet a buffalo. You know? Same people think it's okay to just jump out and take a picture with a black bear and its babies.
Something is wrong.
Why? You know, I think I said before, this is random. But anyway, the girl I worked with told me one time she called because there's a mouse in her house or something. It's like, are you kidding me?
Well, I can almost understand.
That's not
that.
An emergency.
It's not.
A rattlesnake is an emergency.
Well, maybe to her, a mouse was an emergency.
But it's not an emergency.
Facebook being down.
Well, I know.
It doesn't make sense.
Yes, from that perspective, you're right, but it's not an emergency for a mouse to be in your house.
Well, no.
Unless he's got little red shorts on.
All I'm saying is that I can understand that one.
I don't understand it.
I can understand it.
Agree to disagree, sir.
Disagree to agree with you.
This one's yours.
Headline is, 911 butt dial inside bar leads to at rest. This also comes to us from Washington, Greg. They're having 911. They're having 911 issues in Washington. A 25-year-old random lake man.
So they just picked one.
Just a guy.
They just picked one.
Was arrested after the Washington County Sheriff's Office.
What are you doing? Eating my sandwich?
Says he butt-dialed 911 inside a bar, and dispatchers overheard him admitting he wasn't okay to drive and was searching for his keys. Hey, I'm not okay to drive. I'm really messed up. Where's my keys?
You guys seen my beer?
Around 2:30 a.m. Sunday morning, October 8th, the sheriff's office says a 25-year-old Random Lake man accidentally called 911 while at the tavern in the town of Farmington. The man was overheard by dispatchers talking with a group of other people, stating he could not see straight and was not able to safely drive a car. Officials,
I can't see straight, and I'm not
inebriated. You still drive. Officials say dispatchers also heard the man state that he was looking for his keys. Deputies were able to locate the tavern around 2:55 a.m. and found seven people inside the bar after hours. That's you know what that is, Craig. That's the witching hour there. The Washington County
It was 5 minutes before.
Five till witching. The Washington County Sheriff says the caller was arrested for bail jumping. He was currently out on bond.
He was jumping big bales of straw?
Yeah, a bale of hay. He is currently out on bond for his second drunk driving offense with a condition of absolute sobriety. The man's blood alcohol content was...
Contact.
0.22. Another bar patron, a 61-year-old Milwaukee man, was on parole for a previous cocaine charge and was taken into custody for violating the rules. So they're racking up just arrest just by going... One butt dial read to all kind of arrest.
Yeah. It's his fault.
The bartender, a 33-year-old man, was cited for after-hours operation of a life.
You had something tonight?
This is just water. I'm telling you. Three arrests because of a butt dial.
Hey, this is something. Hey, well, this was mine. Hey, this one. This should have been done to you when you were a child.
This was done to me. What are you talking about? Like every year.
Parents forgot toddler in corn maze.
They did this last year to me.
Hey, you're the size of a toddler. A three-year-old boy reportedly got left in a Utah corn maze Monday night when he went into the maze with his parents and they left him behind. The parents ventured into the crazy corn maze in West Jordan, Utah, with their child on Monday night and did not realize the kid was missing until the next morning.
Good grief. Now this things like this happened to me my whole childhood. But I was locked in the mall at 5 years old, and they didn't come back and get me till two Tuesdays afterwards.
That's a lie. You liar. They found you were happy. You were working there.
You know who got me? Alan.
Yeah. They sent him out because he was the only one responsible enough. How's Alan?
He's fine.
All right. Anyway, the boy was found by a good Samaritan who took him to the maze staff. They tried to locate his parents, but they were not at the maze. The boy appeared to be fine, but was taken to Child Protective Services. The fact that it took so long for them to realize the child was missing, was it purely an accident? What were the circumstances? These are all questions investigators want to ask, a member of the West Jordan Police Department told the network.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you don't notice, you know, your kid.
That's not right. Something is really wrong there. Because, well, it's just weird. All right. Headline is, homeless man rescued after spending days in a manhole. Emergency crews early Monday rescued a homeless man who said he was trapped inside a Southwest Houston manhole for several days. Workers first spotted the man just before 2:30 a.m. while doing repairs in the area. What are they? Man, they're working late.
They're working late.
According to a news release, it took firefighters about an hour to get the man out of the hole, which was between 12 and 10 feet deep, according to a news release. Firefighters used a harness to enter the hole and bring the man to safety. The man, who was living under a bridge in the area, initially told responders that he had been stuck inside the manhole for 6 days. He saw alligators, he saw snakes,
yeah,
all kind of stuff.
Everything.
Then he said it was that it had been since Friday.
He was disoriented.
Sure, wouldn't you be if you were in a manhole for 6 days or a Friday or whatever? Regardless of the specifics, the man was underground for at least a couple of days. It's not immediately clear how the man found his way into the hole. You know what? He got cold, and he thought, I'm going to go down there. It's probably warmer down there.
I don't care how cold I am. I don't want to go down.
Stinky. Several nearby manholes were missing their covers. High grass may have obscured the manhole, the uncovered manholes, according to the news release. So they're saying he could have actually just walked right through. But if you fall 10 or 12 feet.
I fall 1 foot.
Yeah. So he was taken to an area hospital with a possible broken foot. So maybe he did fall down there.
That wasn't even such a weird story as it was stupid.
I don't know, man. The guy fell into a manhole.
Okay, well.
And was stuck there for a week.
Fall down several times a day. Nobody writes a story about it.
Yeah, but you're not stuck for a week.
Stuck here, it feels like, for a week.
You got a next headline is?
Yeah, this was mine.
That doesn't work. This is mine doesn't work.
Okay.
You got to come up with something.
Wait, I got bold text at the top.
That works.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
Air Asia staff accused of screaming as flight plummets 20,000 feet.
Oh, my gosh. If there's one thing you don't want your flight attendants doing.
You lose your confidence with those people.
Yeah.
Passengers aboard an Air Asia flight from Perth to Bali. Perth?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that Australia?
It was their Perth day.
Oh, it was Perth day on the airline. No, don't worry about it. Okay. Have criticized the flight crew over allegedly screaming when the plane rapidly descended 20,000 feet. I'm not going to fault anybody for that.
I am.
20,000 feet.
That's a long drop.
Falling. Maybe they had their arms in the air like a roller coaster.
That beats the guy that fell 10 feet through a manhole.
They had their arms in the air like they just don't care. Following an apparent pressurization issue in the cabin, the panic was escalated because of the behavior of the staff who were screaming and looked tearful and shocked, passenger Claire Askew told CNN affiliate 7 News Australia, which, by the way, I don't know why we didn't play the Australian theme, because we'll find out later it was actually Austria, after the plane turned around and landed safely back in Perth. We looked for them for reassurance and didn't get any.
That's right. That's the way I feel.
We were more worried because of how panicked they were, she said.
Because they always say, if we thought the plane would crash, we wouldn't be working here.
Right.
You know,
they say smug stuff like that.
Next thing you know, they think it's going to crash and they freak out.
Video showed oxygen masks deployed aboard the flight as a member of the cabin crew shouted, "Passengers, get down! Passengers, get down! Get to the chopper!
Get down!
Get to the chopper!
Draw your curtains!"
Such instructions are in line with routine flight crew practice when seeking to quickly secure passenger safety. They went hysterical. There was no real panic before that. Then everybody panicked, said another passenger, Mark Bailey.
Yeah.
The panic was
if the flight attendants hadn't panicked, if they'd have kept their cool, everybody else would have.
Right.
Because you look to the flight, at least I do when I'm flying,
Yeah, see what they're doing.
Exactly.
See if they're walking around whispering and stuff.
Yeah.
The panic was this.
Putting on parachutes.
Yeah, right. Nothing's wrong. This is just, it's a drill.
We're camping this weekend. Yeah. We're trying out backpacks.
Data from FlightAware.com shows the plane, an Airbus A320, plummeted from above 34,000 feet to 10,000 feet in a matter of minutes. It's standard practice for pilots to descend to that altitude in the event of cabin depressurization. AirAsia told CNN in an email that they couldn't even call them that email, that the flight was diverted over a technical issue.
Would you want to call CNN? I'd email them.
That's true. We commend our pilots for landing the aircraft safely. Yeah, the pilots weren't the ones screaming.
No, they did their job.
And complying with standard operating procedure, Captain Ling Liang Ting,
We too low.
Air Asia Group Head of Safety, said in the statement, "We are fully committed. We are fully committed to the safety of our guests and crew, and we will continue to ensure that we do adhere to the highest safety standards." The aircraft was being examined. I'm still talking like that. The aircraft was being examined Sunday to find the cause of the problem. AirAsia did not comment on the allegations.
And the co-captain, Sumting Wong, also said...
You remember that list of all the things that got... Okay. The budget flight company has faced similar accusations of crew behavior this year. In June, the pilot urged passengers to pray after technical issue. You better pray. Caused a massive shaking on AirAsia flight from Malaysia headed to Perth. Okay, just mark that off your list, kid.
I remember the last one on that list was Ding Boom Owl.
So you're talking about this list that was out there of things that got by the newscasters.
Yeah. All right, top 10. It's the mark.
I guess that's my thing.
Oh, go ahead.
I say it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Do you mean to do it? No, go ahead.
Yeah, do it one more time. It's the Mark Patch top 10. There, see how special it was?
That was special. That was special.
It's the top 10 worst movies of 2016, 2017.
I haven't seen half of these, and the ones that I have seen, I kind of agree with it.
I'll tell you right now, the first one on the the last one, the top one. Well, number 10. What am I trying to say? Number 10, thank you.
Number 10
is a horrible movie.
I didn't find it that bad.
It's dreadful.
And I think the reason why, we're talking about Suicide
Squad. No, it's
Squad.
Bad, and offline, when we get off of this line, I'll straighten you out on it.
The reason I...
You also thought the new Blade Runner was good.
Oh, it was good. It was really good. Number 10, Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad, real quick.
Yeah.
Jared Leto's Joker was horrible.
Yeah, I agree.
He wasn't even in it that much anyway.
Creepy. Stupid. Not as creepy as, what's his name's?
Yeah, well, I mean, it didn't matter. It was like he was trying to do something, and it looked like he was just trying to do something.
Yeah.
And the writing was lazy.
Yeah.
If you looked at the writing, it was like at the beginning, here are these people, they're the worst of the worst, here's the dossier. They didn't spend any time on the characters at all. It was just lame.
If you're going to spend this much time on each one,
Margot Robbie was the best part of the movie.
We've got 9 more to go.
Okay, but Margot Robbie, who played Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
She was the best. Because
she did a great job.
She was the only one who could act, and she
good
was actually
acting.
Really, really, yeah. She. I mean, not that Jared Leto can't act. It was just dumb. Okay, I'm done. Now I got that off my chest.
Okay,
number
good.
9 of the top 10 worst movies of 2016, 2017, Finding Dory.
Didn't see it.
I didn't watch it because I saw it the first time when it was called Finding Nemo.
Number 8. Of the top worst movies.
I heard this was horrible.
Gods of Egypt. Never saw it.
Now, I disagree with number 7. I don't know where this is coming from. Number 7, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I thought that was a good movie.
It was okay.
I mean, I thought it wasn't in the top 10 worst movies.
Top 10 worst movies, 2016-17. Number 6, Norm of the North.
I remember that's the bear
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, yeah cartoon.
Number 5 should have been at number 1. The reboot,
I agree.
Ghostbusters.
Ugh, terrible. I couldn't even get through it.
It was...
Oh, and I love Paul Feig a lot.
Yeah, it just was bad.
Number 4.
They were trying their best to be funny. It just wasn't working.
Number 4, I agree with, Batman versus Superman.
It had a lot of problems. Yeah. I didn't think it was as bad as they made it out to be.
It wasn't good.
But that doesn't mean it was good.
It didn't hold my interest.
It did have Wonder Woman in it, though.
Yeah, well, that's true.
I love her.
Super hotness?
Yeah.
What?
What did you say?
Darn it.
Number 3
yeah.
of the top 10 worst movies of 2016, 2017. Transformers, one of the other ones you didn't see.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
No, The Last Night. Wish it was it should be called Transformers, The Last One, we promise.
Did you see it?
No, I'm not watching that.
Number 2, I didn't see 50 Shades Darker. And there was a comment on this one that said, the only worst movie ever made was 50 Shades of Grey. They said it's almost as bad as the original.
Well, the number one of the worst movies is 16 and 17. And this is funny because we actually, the other night, we watched a clip of it to see how bad it really was.
Yeah.
And I was so uncomfortable so quickly.
That bad?
Yes. Number one, the Emoji Movie.
Never saw it.
It was so embarrassingly bad in the 20 seconds I watched. It wasn't funny.
I know it
wasn't
was only
good
on for like a week. If that.
It was bad.
You know, certain movies come and go so quickly, you know they're
bad. I actually felt bad for actual emojis.
All right. Thank you for sticking around here for episode 114. We'll be back episode 115. Hopefully, Craig will have something to say for his headlines.
Yeah.
Hey, tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening. Please leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sheboygan.